This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day with an announcement about the ongoing impeachment article and what's going to happen to it in the Senate. And the president has picked a legal representative. And no, it's not one of the people who defended him successfully last time. That's the former president, I should say. For this president, he's announcing a big economic changes. His early cabinet appointments have been overwhelmingly approved. Lloyd Austin for the Secretary of Defense. A first black Secretary of Defense we've ever had, a four-star general in the Army, only two votes against his confirmation. And Janet Yellen for Secretary of the Treasury. The other Biden appointments, well, they're more complicated, some of them. There's also a question about the future of the Republican Party. Will it break apart entirely? Does it need to? And what about the state of the media? There is a new survey that suggests that trust in the media is the lowest it's ever been measured. Why is that? It would seem to me that it's not simply because media were overwhelmingly negative on President Trump. It's more that there is a contrast between that coverage and the kind of coverage that is being received, at least early on, by the Biden administration. It could be that folks in mainstream media don't like being called the enemy of the people. Can you imagine? But it is really, truly remarkable, because it's very difficult to think of any moment in the Trump administration, certainly not the inaugural. And yes, the tone of the inaugural was very dark in the Trump administration. He was suggesting that, in fact, Americans had been ripped off, that Washington had been governed by corrupt elites that didn't care about ordinary people, and then he was going to change things differently. The whole theme of Trump's inaugural address, and it's worthwhile going back and reading it, was that the American people were going to regain control of their government under him. Now, you can argue about to what extent that was achieved or not, and frankly, it wasn't achieved to much of an extent at all, because the American people were, by any measure at all, not enthusiastic about a lot of what Trump did. They were enthusiastic about the results, particularly with the economy, where the economy was thriving before the pandemic, and then it was coming back after the first stages of the pandemic. But the Axios poll has really remarkable numbers in it, and they're very alarming. Because, and Axios is no great fan of the Trump administration. It's not a conservative media outlet. They say trust in traditional media has declined to an all-time low, and many news professionals are determined to do something about it. So what can they do about it? Why it matters, faith in society's central institutions, especially in government and the media, is the glue that holds society together. That glue was visibly dissolving a decade ago, and it has now, for millions of Americans, disappeared entirely. This is a poll that was measured by a trust barometer that is done by the Edelman Organization. And that trust barometer showed that trust in social media had hit an all-time low of 27%. And yes, that includes all kinds of social media. And people know that a lot of what they read on social media is just nonsense. For instance, the idea that the school shootings were actually setups. They didn't really happen. Kids didn't really die. You heard that about Newtown. It turns out that a sitting congressman actually endorsed a post like that about Parkland. that Parkland in Florida was actually a fraud and a hoax. Didn't really happen. We will get to that. But 56% of Americans now agree with a statement that journalists and reporters are purposely trying to mislead people by saying things they know are false or gross exaggerations. 58% think that most news organizations are more concerned with supporting an ideology or a political position than with informing the people. And after the election, they actually redid this poll. This was done right before the election, and the figures had deteriorated even further, with 57% of Democrats saying they trust the media. What percentage of Republicans? 18%. Maybe some of the reasons for Republican distrust you can gather in the some of the reactions to the Biden inauguration and the first day of his presidency. This was a collage that was put together by the Media Research Center, which, yes, is a conservative organization. But they do a fairly assiduous job in monitoring mainstream media. Listen to the commentary about the Biden beginnings.
Those lights that are just shooting out from the Lincoln Memorial along the reflecting pool, it's like almost extensions of Joe Biden's arms embracing America.
Joe Biden today, certainly he was commander-in-chief, but he was also papa-in-chief.
Here is a man who gave Americans permission to feel good about who we are and what we can become again.
This was just such a breath of fresh air that we desperately needed.
He is the better angel president. Joe Biden believes he's eternally optimistic. He's not cynical.
There are few politicians in Washington, perhaps no politicians in Washington, who can lay claim to that kind of message like Joe Biden can.
By his side, Kamala D. Harris, the first woman and person of color to become vice president.
This is such an important moment, I have to tell you.
You can only imagine little girls from sea to shining sea looking on as their parents say, "You too can do that."
A lot of black girls out there in the world today are smiling maybe for the first time in 4 years.
Really? Smiling for the first time in 4 years? Black girls had no opportunity to smile since 2017, January 20th, 2017, when President Trump took command. There is this also, more on media response, and actually even listening to it, you understand why it is so very seductive. It's great to hear people feeling enthusiastic. People who haven't been tremendously enthusiastic, I think you can say, for the last 4 years, they continue to be.
This was an address like no other.
It felt cathartic, heartfelt,
modest, austere, brave, cleansing, calming.
It ended with a feeling of hope springing eternal.
Today's inauguration felt more like a church service.
Like a priest explaining something from the Bible or something. I'm breaking it down for you so we can all have a common language and a common understanding.
Like after a good sermon, the congregation doesn't want to go home, right? People are still hugging, shaking hands.
He also used this moment to attempt to reclaim truth.
Particularly for all of us as journalists, it was really resonant to hear the president say, you know, this is about defending the truth and defeating the lies. 71% of Americans right now believe that democracy itself is in peril. And I wonder how much that changes today.
And the sun started shining during his ceremony, Wolf.
And, okay, that may in fact have been true. In fact, a lot of what is being said has been true, but they looked for it. And it is a very different tone. And part of this, again, when you go back and replay history, why was it so different with the Trump inauguration? Two reasons. Number one, where there was that massive demonstration against President Trump the day after his inauguration, where the Women's March on Washington, where Madonna talked about blowing up the White House, and they came wearing their little kitten hats all pink. And yes, there was all of that. But then there was also Trump's unnecessary argument, which actually went on and on, about the size of his inauguration crowd. We'll talk about impact of media, a new proposal to create a new state in the Northwest, and more coming up on the Medved Show.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
Relief Factor is natural. It uses natural inflammatory ingredients to reduce your level of pain, discomfort, stiffness. It really does work. And a 3-week quick start is amazing. It is a great buy. It's $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. You take 3 little packets a day, and you can feel the difference. Chances are you will, because the overwhelming majority, almost 3/4 of people who get that quick start, end up ordering more Relief Factor. Read all about it. It's a great product. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com and just click on the banner for Relief Factor.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. For a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. MyPillow is patented and adjusts to any sleep position. It's washable and dryable, comes with a 10-year warranty, and 100% made in the USA. I'm also giving you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my bed sheets, mattress, toppers, and bath towels. That's $29.98 for a queen size premium MyPillow, and deep discounts on all my MyPillow products. Buy now, and I'll extend my 60-day money back guarantee to March 1st, 2021.
Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
So far, in the Biden administration, there really has not been, despite the flurry of executive orders, and it's very, very interesting to take a look at that, the list of executive orders signed in the first 2 weeks of a presidency, President Trump had four of them. Barack Obama had eight of them. George W. Bush had two. Bill Clinton had two. Joe Biden has 17 and more on the way. So he's, I think, trying to impress people as the oldest president we've ever inaugurated. He's 78 years old. There's no lack of energy in this administration. Hamilton talked about in the Federalist Papers about the importance of energy in the executive. And at least this administration is beginning with a flurry of activity, some of it good, some of it bad. It seems to me very appropriate for media, and certainly you're hearing this on Fox News, to talk about the stupidity, and it's not too strong a word, it's an appropriate word, of some of Biden's executive orders to mess with stuff that there is no reason, no need to mess with. He has a statement today about wanting to pass federal legislation that would codify Roe v. Wade. And this is one of those things that conservatives and even most liberals recognize, that there shouldn't be federal abortion law. It should be up to individual states within the parameters of what the Supreme Court has found so far and may be finding in the future. Who knows? But the idea of having a national regulation of abortion laws that would take away any discretion about any restrictions that states might have, it's a radical notion. It's like President Biden's desire to eliminate the Mexico City policy. The Mexico City policy said that the United States would not give support to any international organization that provided funds for abortion. Okay, this is not necessary. It just is not necessary, but there it is. The point is, you can argue about that. But most of what people are responding rhapsodically about when it comes to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Jill Biden, it's personal. It's the idea that this is a great guy, a nice guy, a decent human being. And no, people did not have that feeling about his predecessor. Here is the basic point. Is that you can argue all you want about policy. It's possible to compromise. But if the main focus is so-and-so is a good person or so-and-so is a rotten person, you can't compromise that. It's and basically, what I'm talking about here is character. Not personality, not style. Character. And most of the stuff that generated controversy in the very first few days of the Trump administration were these attacks on the media. That's when Kellyanne Conway used the term alternative facts. And honestly, it's such a small thing, but it will be looked upon as one of the crucial mistakes that helped define the administration and helped destroy, it seems to me, their relationship with the media. Which was this whole idea, which was clearly not true, of President Trump arguing about the size of his inaugural crowd. And yes, he had a big crowd, much, much bigger than anything Biden had this time. It wasn't as big as Obama's crowd, not nearly. And he had given instructions to White House photographers to alter the photographs to make the crowd look bigger. That's not a fib. Something is confirmed as part of the record. And it's, by the way, not only people on the left and biased media that felt an emotion of reassurance at our normal inaugural ceremonies after what had happened in Washington on January 6th and all of the response to it, the new impeachment, which, by the way, the impeachment articles, apparently article, it's only one article this time, is going to be sent over to the United States Senate on Monday. It is unclear when they are going to take it up. They could take it up right away. I think that Lindsey Graham and others think they're obliged to take it up right away. I actually think it works very, very much to the advantage of the country, to President Trump, President Biden, and to everyone if this is settled as soon as it possibly can be. But I wanted to make the point that when it comes to this general response of some kind of relief and positivity about the inauguration, that is not limited to people who are committed followers on the left, who are among those people who are trying to push Joe Biden in a left-wing direction that would be very dangerous for him, let alone for the country. Peggy Noonan, who, of course, was a very prominent speechwriter for President Reagan. She's written books about President Reagan. She was a very prominent speechwriter for President George Herbert Walker Bush. She is certainly one of the most influential conservative columnists. And she has a piece coming out tomorrow under the heading, America Emerges Disunited But Intact. And she says at the beginning of the piece, so it ended, so it begins. We ought to give ourselves a moment this weekend to take pleasure in the end of a strange, grinding era and rejoice in the continuance of something we had blindly taken for granted, the peaceful transfer of presidential power. There were no way, experts said, that the planners could produce a happy, moving inauguration with the degree of difficulty they faced. Yet they did. It was a day worthy of a great people. I did not, unlike everyone I know, and almost every conservative, find tears in my eyes. I just felt gratitude and relief, she wrote. What a hunger there is for normal, for stately, serene and dignified, for seeing forms maintained. Crucially, the world saw it. I think that's right. Lady Gaga, she writes, looking delightfully freakish and killing it. China, you've penetrated every data cloud and downloaded every invention. You have discipline and determination and believe the future is yours, but you don't have Lady Gaga. Actually, she sang the national anthem, and it's hard to sing the national anthem and sound good. Just ask Roseanne Barr. But she actually infused that song, Our Flag Is Still There, being the crucial terms, with real emotion. I mean, she sang beautifully. And so did Garth Brooks. And, yeah, so did J-Lo. Right up there as part of the inaugural ceremony. She writes, Peggy Noonan, it wasn't a scandal Donald Trump wasn't there. It was a gift. He would have tried to harm it in some way, cast a pall. She writes, more than President Biden's other speeches, this reflected who he is, his essential nature and intent. Yes, he's a practical pal, a lifer who enjoyed being called senator and relished making the kind of deals that leave the dealmakers safe and the public possibly served. And he says his instinctive setting is blarney. But she says, when he recited from the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, indivisible, you know he meant every word.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Senate is giving a green light to retired Army General Lloyd Austin as Secretary of Defense.
The yeas are 93, the nays are 2, and the nomination is confirmed.
Austin easily confirmed in a bipartisan vote. He is one of President Biden's top cabinet picks and becomes the first African American to lead the Pentagon. Janet Yellen on her way to becoming Treasury Secretary after being unanimously recommended in a committee vote this morning. Yellen is a former Fed Reserve Chair and would be the first woman to be Treasury Secretary. A full Senate vote expected to take place later on Friday. Tonight's estimated Mega Millions jackpot is now $1 billion. That's an increase from the original $970 million estimated prize following Tuesday's drawing. That drawing takes place at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. USA Radio News.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Michael Medved show, a bill that has been introduced before, actually, in the Washington State Legislature. But it's a bill this time that is getting a certain amount of national attention, I guess because of the sharp divisions we've had in America and people talking about secession of various states and various reasons. And with all the divisiveness, there is a new bill. It's actually, again, a bill that's been introduced before, but it's new again this year. It is co-sponsored by Representative Bob McCaslin from the Spokane area of Washington. And Representative McCaslin, I appreciate your coming on the show. Thank you.
Privileged to be here, Michael. Thank you.
Thank you. The bill would create two states out of Washington State. We'd have the existing Washington State, which would be basically the Seattle area west of the Cascades. And then I've seen the maps, this new state. Talk about the plans for the new state and what would need to happen for this to actually occur.
Well, I think the best thing I can do is give you just a tiny smattering of history on this bill. This was a bill that my dad, Senator Bob McCaslin, and Senator Morton from up north came up with as a messaging bill, basically, because people asked them, why would you want to start your own state? And they said, well, because of how business goes as usual in Olympia is usually not very healthy, especially for the east side of the state. And, you know, because we deal a lot with, you know, the state of Idaho. We compete with them directly because, you know, we're 8 miles from Post Falls, just across the border. So it was always a good discussion to have. And now, you know, the idea of this is not to create division. The idea is to find a way to do government better and not have it cost the taxpayers so much money. I think that's the main theme behind the bill. And Representative Chase is the better person to talk about the steps in doing that. I think
Representative Chase is on the line with us now.
Okay.
And Representative Chase, also from the Spokane area, as I understand it, the new state would be called Liberty. And I know that, by the way, they've talked about creating a new separate state out of Northern California. There was actually a lot of support for that because north of San Francisco, there's a big stretch of territory, and it does not share the politics of from San Francisco south through L.A. and San Diego. Other than the obvious difference that the new state, if it ever came into existence, would be more rural, less big city dominated, and vastly more Republican. What is the big advantage for the citizens of the future state of Liberty?
Well, I think it would be representation. You know, if we had a new state, we would be able to elect our own U.S. senators, our own governor, our own legislature. And it would reflect, you know, more of the values because the state of Washington, you know, from the with the naked eye, from the space field, you can see the majority of voters, you know, in Snohomish, King, and Pierce counties. So we feel like we're, you know, it's time, you know, to be, you know, have a good state. And the line of the Cascades, you know, it just seems like the most obvious starting point, because maybe someone in Cle Elum would have more in common with someone from Spokane than they would with someone in North Bend. And it's just, you know, I grew up in Seattle, and when I was 15, we moved to a Spokane area. So I've been in both places, but the difference now is so stark that, and it's not really maybe so much the Cascades as it is, like you said, urban versus rural. You kind of come up with different.
Right. Let me ask you, Representative Chase, if I can. Do you have any Democratic support for this suggestion at all?
Well, not as far as yet, but I think we could because, you know, one of the true facts is that we do get money. More money from Olympia than we send in, and I think maybe people in the Puget Sound Corridor would kind of look at us like a poor relation, you know, that, hey, we're tired of, you know, carrying you guys, which is fine with us, you know, because money is not everything. But I think our revenues may not be as much, but money is not everything. But I think if you had a lower tax, lower regulation state, a lot of businesses would actually flock here to do business.
Okay, well, let me ask you two questions about this, and maybe for Representative McCaslin. One is very easy. Have you thought about what the capital of the new state would be? The capital of the current state of Washington is Olympia. I assume it would stay there. Would you make Spokane the capital? Anyone? Representative McCaslin? Representative Chase?
I would think something central, like probably Moses Lake is almost in the middle of a new perceived state. And it's not just eastern Washington. We have actually some counties in the west side of the Cascades that want to join us, too.
Uh-huh. So that would probably in the west side of the Cascades, just to the west. So, again, I'm sure borders could be negotiated. What would be the procedure here? For this to happen, you would first have to have approval. And is it two-thirds approval for both houses of the Washington State Legislature you'd need?
It's a simple majority, and it's out of Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution, and you'd have to have the
Congress.
Congress approve it, too, with a simple majority. But I think you could actually if it comes up that Puerto Rico, for instance, might want to become a state. It would work like the Missouri Compromise. You know, you'd have a free state and a slave state, because you'll still have always have Republicans and Democrats, and to get that done, they would have to come together on this issue. So there's no reason you can't have 100 stars on the
right. I think we should not use that Missouri Maine thing Compromise, because to suggest that we need another slave state, you don't want to be associated with that. I don't think.
No, you're right. We're all about freedom and liberty.
Good. Well, of course, Absolutely. That's why you're calling the new state Liberty. How many Republican co-sponsors do you have so far, other than the two of you?
We've got Representative Dent, and he's from the Tri-Cities area, but we also have Representative Robert Sutherland. I think he's up around Whatcom County.
But wow.
He just believes in freedom for people, people's freedom of choice.
Uh-huh. Well, again, this is folks who is there. If we'll post information on our website about your bill for the creation of a state of liberty. You're basically trying to make a point. You don't really think this is going to happen at any time in our lifetimes, do you?
Oh, I think it could happen very soon. I think after the COVID thing we've come through, a lot of people, businesses been ruined and all that, and people are really, at least on our side of the state, resent the masks.
Well, I think
because we think it was an overreaction by the governor.
Okay,
yeah.
People. There are lots of people all over the state who resent aspects of the governmental response, but the idea of dividing what isn't geographically that large a state anyway. The one thing, let me plant with you, and before we go, is a number of people have said what we really need in the state of Washington and what we need in many other states across the country is to follow more the example of New Hampshire. They have a very, very large state legislature, so that you are serving far fewer people. In other words, there are more members of the New Hampshire House of Representatives than of the federal House of Representatives, which gives you more in touch, keeps you more in touch with a smaller number of constituents. That's Representative Rob Chase, Representative Bob McCaslin, and two Republicans, advocates of a new state of liberty. So what about the current state of the union and where we go next, coming up on the Medved Show? Right now, demand for physical precious metals continues strong, and supplies are once again getting tight, so our economic problems are not likely to improve anytime soon, and that's what's caused gold and silver to go up in value recently. People are worried, and COVID-19 threatens to stop getting us back on track. Precious metals have always proven themselves in a time of crisis, but you need to choose which ones to buy and when, especially given recent short-term dips in the market. Now, analysts at major banks are forecasting that gold is ready to set new highs in the near term. Over many years, Nick Grovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has proven himself as my go-to expert with smart, educated, responsible recommendations. Nick wants to offer his four decades experience to you. Give the AmFed team a call right now at 800-221-7694 and find out more at AmericanFederal.com. That's 800-221-7694 and AmericanFederal.com.
Right now is a great time to become a MedHead at MichaelMedved.com. When you sign up to become a premium subscriber, use the promo code WINTER40, that's WINTER40, and you'll get $20 off an annual membership. So what then is your grand total for a year subscription? Just $39, or a little more than $3 a month. And what do you get for your money? The 3-hour daily broadcast, commercial free, show archives going back over 5 years, all of Michael's current commentaries as well as commentary archives, 2 exclusive podcasts, added discounts at the MedVet History Store, and a Listen Live tab where you can catch all of the news and Michael's views that are happening in real time. It's all at MichaelMedVet.com. Go to the website, click the MedHead banner, and sign up today. Make sure to use the promo code WINTER40. It's a great way to support the show and the unique content and perspectives from Michael Medved. From all of us here at the program, thanks for listening in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
On the Michael Medved Show, two representatives from Eastern Washington, sometimes you can understand why they would like to separate from Seattle and the Seattle metro area when you hear stories of the riots that have begun again. And this is an extraordinary thing. And let me just share with you, there's in the Portland Oregonian. And no, I understand that's not Washington, it's Portland, but we had duplicate riots, and they had riots in Denver too, and all of these were sponsored basically by Antifa. Now, Antifa, it's one of those things where they try to operate under the radar as much as they can, and they are very much against people streaming any of the riots as they're going on or even reporting on them, and they will very rarely claim, oh yes, this is an Antifa-sanctioned riot. It's different from the Proud Boys, it's different from the Oath Keepers, it's different even from the Boogaloo Boys. They say, we don't have any leaders, we don't have any organization. But someone was out there doing this stuff and smashing windows and creating havoc. There are a total of about 18 people who got arrested in Seattle and Portland so far. And the question is, why not more? Listen to this description. It's by Maxine Bernstein, who was on the ground with the demonstrators in Portland. And this was on Inauguration Day. And they were saying, as about 50 people dressed head to toe in black stood in a standoff with Portland police blocking a parking lot behind Benson High School, several parents and coaches from a youth soccer program on the nearby field walked up to see what was going on. Hey, what are they marching for? One soccer mom asked. That's the question of the year. The anarchists, Antifa, and activists seemed at times to question that themselves, reports the Oregonian. Who set this beep up? Reese Monson asked over a megaphone as the demonstration got underway 2 hours earlier outside Revolution Hall. A voice in the crowd yelled back, "We don't have leaders!" Yeah, that's something to be proud of. The latest iteration has wrought extensive property damage, recently in downtown and northeast Portland, including indiscriminate window smashing. An on-the-ground view of yesterday's protest, Wednesday's protest, shows the lack of cohesion, the divergent ideas of what constitutes free speech. No one has the idea that this constitutes free speech. Window breaking is not a protected constitutional exercise. Sorry. My gosh. And the turbulence of the crowd, she writes. People started gathering about 2 p.m. outside Revolution Hall, a rare daylight appearance by the loose band of demonstrators. A Twitter post on the Pacific Northwest Youth Liberation Front's account had circulated with 189 retweets and 440 likes, advertising January 20th, decrying F the state, F Biden, land back, F12. I'm not even sure what 12 is here. It also exhorted explicitly, no streamers, no peace police, a warning that they didn't want any challenges or recordings of their actions. When a sergeant removed a banner with poles from one person, the crowd was incensed and yelled, "Move out! Move out!" as they pressed forward toward the police. This is 50 people. The officer returned the banner, not the poles. Police set off a single smoke grenade to keep the crowd back and allow the bike cops to ride off. Within an hour, the crowd had grown to about 200 as they marched through city streets. They wandered west and then north before finally ending behind Benson High in northeast Portland, with two drummers keeping a lively beat in the middle of the group. Marchers yelled chants including, "No good cop! No good president! Black Lives Matter!" and "No cops! No prisons! Total abolition." "Take the bridge," someone shouted, likely referring to the nearby Burnside Bridge. Actually, Burnside's bridge was part of the Battle of Antietam, which ended up claiming 25,000 American lives. That's another story. "I don't know where the beep I'm going, but I don't give a beep," yelled marcher Princess Warner, 20. Will you just contemplate with me for a moment how awful that is? Princess Warner, I assume Princess is the name her parents gave her, are always proud of her. She's 20 years old. Can you imagine how her parents feel? I don't know where the beep I'm going, but I don't give a beep. Thank you, Princess. Protesters who reached Northeast Grand Avenue hesitated and argued about where to go once they spotted a roadblock ahead of them. "My six-year-old should not have to go through what I have gone through," said one of the marchers. "My child should see Black history stuff. In school, we don't even learn enough about that. Biden really needs to change education. Foster care needs to change. There's so much wrong with this world. It needs to change." So you're going to bring about change by smashing windows? "Where the beep are we going?" one man yelled. Some shouted for everyone to turn around. Another responded, "There's police cars behind us." "This is the worst beep march I've ever attended," another person yelled. Okay, the press secretary for the President of the United States, new press secretary, Jen Psaki, was asked about this today. And listen to the feeble answer. She had such a chance to speak out against this crap. This is clip 6.
On domestic unrest, first of all, does the president have any comment on the ongoing violence in Oregon and Washington State that we've seen in recent days?
Well, certainly we had our team on the ground, our national security team, before 12:01 early in the morning on Inauguration Day, because we wanted to be able to monitor events happening across the country and any unrest that was resulting from the last couple of weeks. I haven't spoken with him specifically about those events, but it is something our national security team, Liz Sherwin-Randall, our Homeland Security Advisor, is closely monitoring, of course. But if we have an additional update, I'm happy to provide it to you.
Okay. It would have been so easy for the president to make clear, for him to communicate to his press secretary, there is no excuse for this. There is no reason for smashing windows and destroying people's businesses, for smashing windows at a federal courthouse. And that's one of the things she should have spoken about. The demonstrators in Seattle took off the plywood that was covering the windows of the courthouse from the last round of demonstrations. They pulled it off so they could smash the windows again. Do you know how much work that is? How expensive that is for your government? How much of your tax money? And the idea that they haven't stopped these demonstrations, for goodness sake, if there is one time for the government to be tough, it would be at the beginning of an administration, because there is so much anger and so much rage, and appropriately, against those right-wing crazies who attack the Capitol building. But what about the left-wing crazies who've been doing this every night for a year almost in Portland and do it whenever they want in Seattle with minimal opposition? This is one of those reasons why, with local elections coming up in Seattle, there is a great yearning, I think, for a lot of people for the candidacy of Carmen Best, who is the former police chief here, who actually finally was allowed to stand up to some of the idiocy that is involved with these extreme left-wing demonstrations. A word to Jen Psaki and to President Biden. Look, you got to be clear on this. Because if you're talking about unity, it cannot be a unity that excludes Proud Boys and Oath Keepers and Boogaloo Boys and people on the right, but includes in the unity people like these anarchists and so-called anti-fascists and extreme black-clad vandals who, by the way, one of the buildings they smashed and hit windows on were the Biden-Harris headquarters. That's right. They attacked your headquarters. That ought to get attention. And again, if there's one thing that it seems to me can really help with this project of unification, it's basically standing up against the lunatics who poison our public life. And by the way, breaking windows, vandalizing property, attacking police officers, it's against the law. Whatever happened to three strikes, you're out? Wasn't that a good idea? Isn't that a good idea? We deserve better in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
My name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.